The long-winded rumor of the Motor City Machine Guns landing in WWE has been a hot topic in the pro wrestling community. Are they going to WWE? And if they do, are they going to the main roster? Are they going to NXT? Or is that all BS? And are they landing in AEW? Finally, we have some concrete answers on where they are going and what show they will be on today on Off the Script. Also, Bobby Lashley sends out a very cryptic Instagram post, possibly telling everybody where he is going to end up, and he will not be alone. Major news on the SmackDown changes that we saw last night for the season premiere, and Def Rebel may be saying goodbye to WWE. Thank God. All this plus so much more right here on OTS. We'll start with this one, man. I know this is also a hot button topic in the pro wrestling community as well. If you guys like attending live WWE shows, you know how ridiculous their ticket prices are. WWE is actually cutting back on live events in 2025. Ticket prices will be increasing due to the demand of the product. Now, while speaking at the Goldman Sachs Communication and Technology Conference on Wednesday, TKO President Mark Shapiro spoke about continuing to cut back on marginally profitable live events. Yeah, they're marginally profitable right now. Wait till they raise the price. It's not going to be marginally profitable then. WWE's been running non-televised live events for decades when the lifeblood of the company depended primarily on ticket sales. That has changed over the years, and WWE's primary revenue now comes from their media rights deal. Shapiro said at the conference that Vince McMahon liked to run live events as a way to expand the WWE brand into smaller cities and regions. Shapiro said WWE went from running 300 events in 2023 to 250 this year in 2024. And next year, the plan is to cut back to close to 200 in 2025 while still increasing company profits. It was not said if the close to 200 number includes NXT shows, as they will be on the road supposedly a little bit more often next year with their move to the CW network. Shapiro reiterated his belief that tickets to WWE shows are underpriced. Yes, I'd love to gauge the consensus of people who are looking to buy Survivor Series tickets in Vancouver, British Columbia for War Games this year. I'd love to see what they think and if those ticket prices are underpriced. Yeah, sure thing. A sign that ticket prices will continue to increase as they cut back on the total number of shows in 2025. Some have said that reducing the live events is a detriment to some of the younger talent who needs reps on the road, which is not going to be that big of a deal because they have a performance center and most of the roster is congregated in the Orlando region anyway. However, WWE runs small shows around Florida and the incoming talent trains at the performance center in Orlando. The reduced live event schedule will allow wrestlers to spend more time at home with their families, which has been a priority for the Paul Levesque era, something that Randy Orton has glowingly praised about the differences between this administration and the previous administration. WWE's cutting back on live events in 2025, and they say they are marginally profitable. This goes along with what Triple H wants, to give his roster quality time at home with the family during holidays, not overwork everybody, keep everybody as healthy as possible without stressing their bodies and overworking them. Quality over quantity. There are pros and cons to this. Obviously, some of the cons are talent not getting reps on the road and not experiencing what's like to be a WWE superstar as much as the previous eras. A lot of those reps in the ring, they go to getting better and molding your craft, becoming great at what you do, doing stuff at the live shows that isn't really done at the TV tapings like a Raw or SmackDown, testing stuff out before we actually bring it to a wider audience, see if it works, see how it gets over, if it doesn't get over. Obviously, those things matter. But the grand scheme of TKO mixed with the Paul Levesque era and what their priority is to keep everybody healthy and happy and time home with their families.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
They are trying to find a medium. They're trying to find a happy balance here. The only thing that people are going to look at here is not what I mentioned. The only thing that people are going to look at is the ticket prices for these shows, which are going to be astronomically much more than what they used to be. Look at WWE all year, starting from the Elimination Chamber. Broke records internationally for the Elimination Chamber. Then we get to WrestleMania. Broke records there for WrestleMania. And this was the most profitable WrestleMania in the history of the entire event in 40 years. Then you go to all their other international shows, which we saw in Scotland and in France and in Basham, Berlin. Every single show that WWE has done internationally, they broke their own record for largest gate live event record. And that is just for arena shows in their company history. And people sit there and they are attending these shows and they have some fucking geek go out there and express, yeah, we broke the live event gate record for most tickets in an arena show. Most money made ever. That's great. That's great. You're celebrating spending fucking $8,000 to take your family of four to go watch WWE Bash in Berlin. I mean, that's what the WWE is pushing now. And people are eating it up. They're serving slop on a plate and they're eating it up. The fans are eating it up. I don't know what to tell you. The decrease in live events only means the ticket prices are going to be raised. It's as simple as that. So if you want to attend a live event show, a house show, where you would take the wife and the kids for a night out and you think it's going to be a nice casual time with the family to go watch your favorite WWE superstars or take your sons and daughters to see their favorite WWE superstars perform. You know, what used to cost $500 to take the entire family is now going to cost $1,500 to take the entire family. And that doesn't even include parking and then obviously the concessions and merchandise. I was just discussing this with somebody yesterday. Somebody tweeted at me saying that the casual ticket prices for all sections for Survivor Series are $1,300 minimum. Imagine you take a family of five to Survivor Series. You're $10,000 in the hole before fucking matches even announced. That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. And people will buy it. That's the thing. WWE knows that people will buy it. The only thing I will say is this. I'm not going to be attending these fucking shows. I wouldn't pay a fucking dime to go sit in an arena for these ticket prices. But all I know is WWE better have something really, really big planned for 2025 if you are going to be charging an arm and a leg to go watch a fucking PLE or a live event house show. WWE better have something major up their sleeve, whether this Bloodline story takes it to the next level, The Rock comes back and he does something even better than what he did last year, John Cena's retirements next year. They better have something planned and worthwhile for fans to come on out and those fans spending their money think, hey man, this is well worth my money being spent, my hard-earned money being spent, because I want to put it towards something that is meaningful and something that is memorable. Going to a WWE house show and spending $1,500 to take the fucking family out for an entire evening, man, that's ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. It's supposed to be a casual viewing experience. And WWE now, you see what the management of TKO is going to be like, man. We didn't realize what was going to happen when they first sold the company and they merged UFC and WWE under the Endeavor umbrella. But now you see where they're going with this. And you see what the direction of the company is going to be financially and how the company's going to be run, man. The days of Vince McMahon are no longer. So this is what WWE is moving on in to the future with. Ticket prices are going to be increasing. Let me know what you guys think down below. If you are looking for tickets at Survivor Series or for Survivor Series, let me know what your experience has been. If you've been to any of these other shows, I would be very curious to see what you've spent to take your family out to these shows, man, because I don't think it's going to get any better. Motor City Machine Guns. This has been a topic of discussion. And a lot of people were like, well, yeah, they're going to AEW because that's where the best wrestle. Sure. Yeah, let's continue to jam that cringy statement, that logo, or that model, that quote down the throat of wrestling fans. Give me a fucking break, man. We're the best wrestle. Yes, we know you are great at delivering a great in-ring product on most nights. But the Motor City Machine Guns are not going to where the best wrestle. They are going to go to NXT. And now this is confirmed by several sources. And this is confirmed by Pro Wrestling Nexus on social media and followed up by Fightful. Earlier this week, Pro Wrestling Nexus reported that Motor City Machine Guns, Alex Shelley, and Chris Sabin were headed to WWE. Tonight, WWE sources claim to Fightful that both are officially signed with the company. Questions have swirled about their status for months, but details were few and far between outside of AEW sources indicating months ago that the duo hadn't been signed and weren't planned for the company. There were some creative pitches there, but they did not end up signing with All Elite Wrestling. I'm sure that the creative pitches were presented to them as, yeah, you'll come in, man. You wrestle Maximum Male Models and you get a couple of wins and then you'll be fed to the Young Bucks to feed their fucking skyrocketing egos as of late in a dying tag team division. Great job. They didn't want it and they're not going there. Now we can put this story to rest. Motor City Machine Guns are WWE bound. They will be on NXT and they will be debuting on one of the two shows as WWE, I'm assuming it's going to be that first episode, and they will be debuting on the CW network for NXT. Now, if you are some people in the community that have a problem with the Motor City Machine Guns going to NXT, like our friend over there at Fightful, Unrighteous Reg, as you see here, and the tweet that I put in the video today, he says, 41 and 42 years old, respectively, their style is mimicked in tag team wrestling in every promotion across the world. They define tag team wrestling for this generation. So yeah, let's send these guys to developmental. Laughing emoji says Unrighteous Reg from Fightful.com. Sure. Unrighteous Reg clearly hasn't done his homework. Gee, man, I wonder who else came from some really, really great careers on the independents, man, and joined NXT before they went to the main roster, man. Gee, let's ask Sami Zayn that, man. Let's ask Kevin Owens that question, man. Let's ask Ricochet. Let's ask Aleister Black. Let's ask Andrade. Let's ask Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, Roderick Strong for that man. Let's ask Shinsuke Nakamura that question, man. And somebody else, anybody else that I failed to mention here that went to NXT. I mean, Drew McIntyre got fired from WWE, joined TNA, and then went on to NXT upon return to WWE and won the NXT Championship. But gee, man, let's not send the Motor City fucking Machine Guns to NXT. Any more fucking questions? Granted, it's not the same NXT as this NXT. Black and Gold and this NXT are not comparable, but they're going to the CW network. WWE is amping this debut up to not be developmental. This is not 2.0, okay? Similar to 2.0, but it's not as bad as what we got to 2.0. I don't really understand this mentality. I don't. You know, this is an AEW mark. This is an AEW shill who writes music for AEW, who has absolutely zero criticism of anything that they do wrong. There is no wrong that comes out of that company. There is only right there. He doesn't watch WWE. He doesn't watch WWE like we do. He doesn't watch pro wrestling like we do. He doesn't watch the PLEs. He thinks the PLEs are a sham at five matches, which I tend to agree with, but I would rather take a 3-hour five-match pay-per-view than a fucking 4-hour 18-match pay-per-view. That's just me. I don't want to sit there and watch 18 matches fucking worth of anything, to be quite honest with you. I don't really understand this logic. I don't. AJ Styles, I always go back to this, man. I read years ago when AJ first joined WWE, debuted in the Royal Rumble, went on to wrestle Roman Reigns for the WWE Championship. AJ Styles even said that if he was given the opportunity, he would take 6 months to a year in NXT because coming from where he came from, coming from Impact, TNA, coming from New Japan Pro Wrestling, and then jumping right into the WWE system, it is a completely different beast. There are things that he did in those companies throughout his entire career that WWE does vastly different. And having him thrown into the fucking pool without any floaties on, not knowing what to do, was a very difficult thing to navigate for him. And he always said that he would take a year in NXT to get and work out those kinks and iron out those kinks and then go to the main roster. So you know exactly how WWE operates. Everybody should go through the NXT system. There are some that don't, which are head scratchers. Jade Cargill, for prime example, should have absolutely went to NXT. I don't know why we made her jump right to the main roster when she is much worse off for it and she really hasn't done anything of note. Has she done anything substantial on the main roster that she couldn't do in NXT? I don't really get it. But this logic that the NXT is developmental, you know, it wasn't developmental then, and WWE changed it into developmental and they realized how fucking terribly wrong they were. And now they're changing and going back to what it used to be. I mean, it's not developmental when you got Julia and the Machine Guns and the Lucha Brothers and Stephanie Vaquer and Roxanne Perez and all these other fucking major indie names that come on in and go right to NXT. I don't really consider that developmental. I really don't. I didn't then and I'm not going to do that now. But 41 and 42 years old, AJ, How old is AJ now? AJ's what, in his mid-40s? I mean, AJ is fucking unbelievable. He's, what, 43, 44 years old? If he went to NXT, he says he should have been in NXT. Take that for what it's worth. I mean, I don't really get it. And who's to say these guys didn't want to go to NXT? Maybe this was their request. Maybe they want to mold the tag team division and then coach and teach and bring a sense of this great environment teaching the young talent down there. And who's to say they're going to be down there for their entire run? We don't know how long their contracts are. We don't know what the plan is. They'll probably spend 6 months to a year down there, build a division and mold a division around them, and then they'll get called up to the main roster. You don't think they're going to get a main roster stint? You don't think them versus the Street Profits or them versus DIY or them versus Imperium or whoever the fuck else is on the main roster? It's not going to have the Usos, the New Day. Hey, you think Triple H is a fucking idiot? Come on, man. This is a dumb fucking opinion. An opinion, but a fucking dumb one. This is not the same as these guys working TNA and New Japan, man. WWE is a different beast, and there are levels to this shit, man. So they are going to NXT, and I can't wait to see what they do on the CW network. WWE is looking to rid themselves of Death Rebel. Thank God. On the 13th of September, last night, SmackDown season premiere on the USA Network. WWE premiered a new logo, new fonts, new graphics, brand new theme song from Megan Thee Stallion. God help our fucking ears. The latest song is Never Play by Megan Thee Stallion, the new theme song for SmackDown, featuring BTS RM, replaced Def Rebel's work as the theme song for SmackDown on Friday nights. For the past 3 years, Def Rebel's song featuring Supreme Madness served as the Blue Brand's theme song. And from 2019 to 2022, AC/DC's Are You Ready acted as the promotion's theme song on Friday nights. I wasn't even a fan of that one. I thought that was a very weak rock choice for WWE. Can we get something or someone, a band that's a little bit more updated and that isn't 80 years old? However, a recent report from Corey Hayes of Pro Wrestling Nexus dropped a piece on their Discord server and that WWE's future agreement with Def Rebel may be ending, or a current agreement, I should say, may be ending, and their future agreement may be with actual music artists. The report noted that WWE wants to collaborate with mainstream artists. However, This does not immediately rule Def Rebel out of the picture, as the Stanford-based promotion now wants a diverse artist list. Now, how about we get some diverse musical choices for these fucking main shows as far as themes are concerned, man? Is rock and roll dead to everybody? Jesus Christ. Further details on Def Rebel status with WWE were shared by Pro Wrestling Nexus on X, Twitter. The report claimed that the music group looks forward to not renewing their contract with the promotion once it concludes. Good. Still reports the updates is yet to be confirmed. As of now, the promotion is set to continue its partnership with Def Rebel while utilizing a diverse list of musical contributors. I want to go deaf when I listen to Def Rebel. I'd rather be deaf than listen to Def Rebel, honestly. This is a great thing. I can't begin to tell you, man. Commentary, you know, getting somebody there who is a great storyteller and a great voice to lead the charge and narrate everything that's happening in the ring is absolutely important to a brand and a wrestling promotion. Same thing goes for the music. If you don't have music that distinctly tells you who the wrestler is and what they're about and fits their entire character, I don't know what we're doing here, man. CFO money, whatever the fuck they were great at that. And they had banger after banger after banger. I don't know why we just don't get them back. Honestly, I mean, they had so many fucking bangers, I can't even list them all, to be honest with you. So that's what we need, that type of shit. They were in sync with everybody, from Kyrie to Asuka to Shinsuke to Sammy to KO to Bobby Roode to Finn Balor to Johnny Gargano. I mean, you Adam Cole, you name Velveteen Dream, Ricochet, Aleister Black, you name it. You name it. Code Orange did Aleister Black, but still, fucking great. Fit him perfectly. Fit him perfectly. Why aren't we going back to that? I don't know who they plan on getting. Musical artists, real, actual music artists. If they do that, let's start incorporating some rock and some metal into it, man, because everything I hear is nothing but, you know, this poppy shit, this mainstream fucking low level. I don't know how you listen to this. You got to be fucking stupid to listen to this shit and think that's good music type of garbage. Let's get some actual balls to the wall with some of these themes and these show themes, these wrestler themes, really. I remember when NXT was black and gold, man, you'd hear Slipknot, you'd hear these indie bands. I mean, granted, we didn't know half of the fucking artists that came out of there, but it would be a great foundation for artists to actually be discovered by some of these pro wrestling fans. They eat everything else up. Why wouldn't they eat that up? They curated a great music list for NXT. I don't know why we don't go back to that. When I watch NXT, the music was so fucking perfectly in sync with what they were delivering as far as a product. I don't get that on the main roster. I really don't. So hopefully they go back to that. But Def Rebel being gone next year, man, I can only hope. Because they have been the absolute drizzling shits as far as music in the entire industry, man. Right now, AEW and Mikey Ruckus have the best curation of music for pro wrestlers in the entire industry. Bar none. That's what we need in WWE, and that's seemingly the only thing that's missing. News on SmackDown and NXT going into their season premieres and new homes on the CW and USA Network, respectively. SmackDown went to the USA Network last night. The CW is getting NXT in a few weeks. I will be covering those first two shows, and we will figure it out from there, but it seemingly feels like I might have to restart up on watching NXT weekly like I used to do and then covering it here on the podcast. Already we know WWE's loading up both shows in an effort to make a splash, but some other adjustments are en route as well. So this is coming from Fightful. This was before last night's SmackDown, just to go over what happened. They did get a new theme, Never Play by Megan Thee Stallion. I hope it's never played again, honestly. For the last 3 years, SmackDown has used Def Rebel, like I said, featuring Supreme Madness. Another change that Fightful heard and discussed within WWE is a change to the ending of programming. SmackDown want to have a little bit more flexibility than usual, while NXT has less. So what this means is when WWE was on Fox for SmackDown, they had a hard end at 9:57 because local time and the local news had to go on immediately at 10 o'clock. They didn't want to rush right in. And they want to leave enough time between what show ends and then getting into the local news. So granted, WWE had a hard stop at 9:57 Eastern here, Fox 5 in New York City. CW is going to have that same thing. It's probably not going to be 9:57. It may be. I have no fucking idea. They got to get ready for their nightly news as well on CW at 10 o'clock, I believe they air. And they will end the same time that SmackDown ended, or right around the same time that SmackDown ended on Fox, whereas they were on the USA Network and they had sometimes 5-minute, 6-minute, 7-minute overruns, sometimes 15-minute overruns on USA Network they were granted. They're not going to be allowed that on the CW anymore. So the show is going to be formatted differently, and SmackDown's going to be formatted differently. They're going to have a little bit more leeway, a little bit more flexibility on the USA Network. As we saw last night, they had a 5-minute overrun to get all that stuff out with Roman and Cody. So it's going to be two different worlds, and they're just basically flip-flopping. SmackDown's going to have more flexibility, whereas NXT did, and now they're not. So that's the change there for both shows. As a promotional tool, USA Network sent out promotional packages to a number of influencers and streamers as well. Gee, I wasn't on the list. This is a common for debuts of shows on networks. Once upon a time, wrestling-themed funeral parlor show sent out shovels. A wrestling-themed funeral parlor show sent out. I don't know why Sean Ross Sapp put that in the report. Who gives a fuck? I don't even, what is a pro wrestling themed funeral parlor show? I don't get it. Goes without saying, but WWE's looking to load up NXT as they do their season premiere shows. Gee, I mean, the SmackDown show had Roman, but outside Roman, it wasn't really loaded up. Imagine Roman wasn't on the fucking show. That show would have been the drizzling shits last night, don't you think? But outside Roman and Cody and the Bloodline, I mean, what was it? A typical SmackDown. So they're loading up NXT. They got main roster stars. Julia and Roxanne's going to be for the NXT Women's Championship. Motor City Machine Guns are coming in. Debut of the Lucha Brothers potentially as well, or at least Penta. We don't really know what the situation is there with them. They're loading up those both shows. One's in, I think, Illinois, and the other one, I think they moved it from St. Louis to accommodate a smaller crowd because they weren't selling as many tickets in St. Louis. And then the other show's going to be in Chicago at the Allstate Arena. So between going live on the road and adding a lot of star power and debuting Julia and others, WWE sources feel like they can do the highest number in about a year since they loaded up a show head-to-head with Tuesday's edition of AEW Dynamite titled Tuesday. We're told the Performance Center shows for NXT are expected to continue, says Fightful. And for those asking, commercials have always been planned for WWE Raw on Netflix. Engagement accounts pretending that they weren't had no insight on the situation regarding the 2 or 3 hour show. WWE confirmed SmackDown will remain 2 hours, but did not clarify about a runtime for Raw on Netflix. We're all assuming that they will be given a 3 hour block, and if they reach the 3 hours, great. Some weeks they might not need 3 hours. Some weeks they'll go 2 hours and 15 minutes. Another week they'll go 2 hours and 28 minutes, depending on the situation and the show, if it calls for it, or if a major match is happening on that show and that match needs more time than normal. WWE's got flexibility. I'm sure they'll get that flexibility on Netflix, and I'm very excited about that. The one thing I hated about SmackDown last night, minus the fucking theme of the song, everything is largely the same. You can do a new logo and new font and new graphics on the fucking screens in the arena. The one thing I hated is that we didn't get black screens, but every holy shit chant that we got chanted in Seattle last night, there was a good 10-second censoring of the crowd. Can we not? I mean, are we that fucking ridiculous where we gotta bleep out holy shit chants? I mean, that just ruins the viewing experience for the home watcher, honestly. I mean, is it that bad? I mean, you just ruined the entire vibe of the fucking show. Gee, man, I wonder what they're chanting that I can't fucking hear it at home. Holy shit, so derogatory. Moving from Fox to the USA Network was supposed to be a better experience, not the same. But yes, those are the news and notes coming out of SmackDown, and that's what you can expect on the NXT show moving to the CW. And finally, guys, Bobby Lashley. He posted this on social media. Bobby Lashley and his whereabouts are also a big talking point in the IWC. As you see there, he posted a picture of himself wearing the WWE Heavyweight Championship, the United States Championship, the Intercontinental Championship, the TNA World Heavyweight Championship, and the ECW, quote-unquote, Heavyweight Championship. He tweeted out the journey, or Instagrammed, I should say, the journey is far from over. I wonder where he's going to end up. Seemingly looks like there's only one world championship that he hasn't held and put around his waist. Gee, I wonder what other promotion is in the United States that has a major world championship. Tony. Fightful reported that there have been talks between Bobby Lashley, Shelton Benjamin, and MVP to bring the group into AEW. Plans to continue a faction similar to the Hurt Business outside WWE have been discussed, and there have already been steps towards this as Total Harmless Concept LLC, Totally Harmless Concept LLC, filed to trademark the Hurt Syndicate, the same company that filed for trademarks on other MVP-related phrases and names. Lashley and MVP opted to leave WWE several weeks ago while Shelton Benjamin was previously released due to budget cuts. The three men are reportedly looking to reunite the Hurt Business in AEW. And Cedric Alexander, if you're wondering about his whereabouts, he just re-upped with the WWE as of a few weeks ago. I fully expect Bobby Lashley to come on into AEW, which is going to be met with mixed reaction, no doubt about it. I'm sure there will be the AEW elitists that will jump over the moon and fucking throw a ticker tape parade that they took another one away from WWE. But at the end of the day, AEW constantly and continually brings in ex-WWE star after ex-WWE star after ex-WWE star. Now, I don't know what their overall talent budget is, but it's got to be nearing the over 100 million range. And they're going to need some hell of a TV deal, TV rights deal, to keep this roster and payroll afloat. Because I don't know what you're paying Bobby Lashley to bring him on in, but I can imagine it's not going to be cheap. You tack on Shelton Benjamin and MVP to that, it ain't going to be fucking cheap to bring the Hurt Syndicate into AEW. How many fans are going to look at this as another ex-WWE guy going to AEW, another game changer over there, man, who's not going to really be that much of a difference for their ratings at all? Because the more you do that, honestly, the further you move away from the original vision of AEW. And the more you do that, the more homegrown talent gets pushed down the ladder and they get no opportunities because you're giving all the opportunities to ex-WWE guys to come on into the company and take those spots away and take TV time away from those who really are working hard there, desire it so much that they'll never get an opportunity to get where they want to be. So I don't know, man. It's a double-edged sword. I don't know what role he would be having in AEW. I don't know if he comes in with Shane. That's the rumor that Shane is leading this new Moxley agenda and narrative on AEW television. I don't know where he would go. I don't know where he would fit. The Hurt Syndicate, I don't know where they would fit. Do we really want to see it? I don't really care if they go or not, honestly. I think they would best be served in TNA. I really do. I don't think AEW needs them, man. They got so much talent that they don't even know what to do with 60% of the roster. Probably more than that. And you're going to be bringing in Bobby Lashley to do what? We don't see enough of Miro. We don't see enough of Malakai and Buddy and all the ex-other WWE guys that you bring on in. What are we doing? They failed to use Andrade properly. I don't get it. I don't see it as a move that they need to make. I would stay away from this. Tony is only in this because he feels like he's going to book them better than what Triple H did, and with the rumors going around and Bobby Lashley not being heard on creative, and he goes to AEW and Tony Khan's going to let him, you know, be creative and Tony's going to give him a fresh foundation. I mean, Tony is bringing him in not because he needs Bobby Lashley, not because he wants Bobby Lashley. I think the narrative is he's bringing in these guys because they have a score to settle. They have gripes with their previous employer, and they're going to try, AEW, Tony Khan, and the Hurt Syndicate, they're going to try to make Triple H look bad. This is what you could have had. This is what we wanted to do. Tony's letting us do it. Paul's not letting us do it. How much of it is, yeah, man, I want to write a great story. I got a vision. I got a 6 to 12 month plan for Bobby Lashley and the Hurt Syndicate in AEW. How much of it is that compared to let's bring them on in and shove it in WWE's face that we used a former WWE champion better than they did? I don't know, man. When you start thinking like that, That's when things get out of control and the TV starts to spiral in a downward trajectory, which right now AEW is. They're hot one week, they're cold the next four. They're hot one week, they're cold the next six. It's like, can't win with this fucking place, man. Do they need Bobby Lashley and MVP and Shelton Benjamin, who are all nearing 50 or over 50? Maybe you should rethink that that contract or contracts before you bring anyone in, honestly. Guys, thank you very much for all your support. If you enjoyed today's podcast, let me know what you guys think down below. For all the major stories talked about in this video, thank you very much for all your support this week. It's been a great week. Follow me on social media, at JD from NY206, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for all notifications. Go check out all the other streams and videos that we've uploaded this week. They're all on the homepage. And please hit that thumbs up. Let's try for 1,000 likes today on OTS. If there is any news tomorrow, you'll see me tomorrow. If not, I'll be back live on Monday right here for Monday Night Raw on Off the Script with the Raw Post Show. I'll see you guys later.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.